This is Marriage and the Family, Chapter 10. Our Marriage with Christ, the picture-perfect marriage. In the movie Father of the Bride, the banks almost have it. With the help of Frank, the wedding consultant, they do their best to pull off a picture-perfect wedding. Even though this comedy exaggerates the situation, it typifies many families in North America. A wedding is a special event. People want everything to be perfect. But something unexpected usually happens. A bridesmaid faints. The best man forgets the rings. A snowstorm strikes. Suddenly, the best laid plans begin to unravel. In one wedding I conducted, the mother of the bride had car trouble. The service was delayed a half hour until she could arrive. An awkward 30 minutes, to say the least. There is a wedding that is picture perfect. It is the marriage between Christ and us, the members of His church. As we will see, this is the most magnificent wedding that ever occurred. Plans and preparations. Of all the events we face in life, weddings often take the most preparation. Some are simple weddings that keep the planning to a minimum, but others consume a great deal of time, money, and energy. God began planning for our picture-perfect marriage way back in eternity. It was then that He chose us to be His bride. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, the Apostle Paul tells us He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. That easily puts our wedding with Christ in a class by itself. It surpasses any record in the Guinness Book of World Records as the longest amount of time to plan a wedding. As the years went by, God set out to do in time what He had already determined to do in eternity, make us His perfect bride. He picked out the attendants for this wedding. The patriarchs and the prophets who got the word out about this wedding. Through them, God announced the places and dates where things would occur. Bethlehem, Egypt, Nazareth, Capernaum, and Jerusalem. All of these were places that would play a part in His wedding plans. This is only a part of the years of preparation God went through to plan for the greatest wedding of all time. But when the time finally arrived, it seems as though everything went wrong. All the hotels in Bethlehem were booked. No one showed up at the big event. That is, no one except a few lonely shepherds who wandered in during the night only because they had received a last-minute invitation. The only ones to bring gifts were some visitors from the east. The honeymoon was spent in Egypt. And as time went on, things seemed to go from bad to worse. Not only did the attendants of the groom kidnap him, as is sometimes done for fun in North America, they betrayed him, disowned him, and killed him, nailing him to a cross. But what may have seemed like a disaster was part of the plan. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5 leaves no doubt about this. When the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. The birth, the suffering, the death, the resurrection, these were all part of God's saving plan. These were all key elements in the wedding plans He had for us. They were necessary plans because we were not the perfect bride. God did not choose us in eternity because of our natural spiritual beauty. Sin wins no beauty pageants, especially with God. As a striking visual image of His bride's sinfulness, the Lord told the prophet Hosea, "Go, take to yourself an adulterous wife, because the land is guilty of the vilest adultery in departing from the Lord." Hosea 1, verse 2. We join God's Old Testament people in this sin of adultery. Every time we step over the line of God's law, we commit adultery against our heavenly bridegroom. Whether that line is for no sexual intimacy before marriage, or no sinful sexual thoughts in our minds, or any other unfaithfulness to God. That's the very reason why God planned this wedding. He did it to save us, the unfaithful bride, from suffering the punishment for our own sins. Gift of faith and baptism, our wedding day. In eternity, God chose us to be his bride. Through his means of grace, he invites us to the wedding and gives us our wedding dress, which is white and pure. For all of us, baptism played an important role in our relationship with Christ. Perhaps we came to faith as an adult. We heard the good news that our heavenly bridegroom lived and died in our place, and the Lord used that gospel message to create a close and loving relationship with us. In time, we were baptized, which confirmed God's vow of love to us. For others of us, this relationship was established at baptism. It was then that God popped the question and tied the knot all at once. It was then that he made us his bride. Whatever the circumstances, for us, baptism is like the ring on a bride's finger. It is a pledge of God's love to us. It assures us that we were washed, we were sanctified, we were justified. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11. It assures us that we are now clothed with Christ. Galatians 3, verse 27. It assures us that he has now presented us to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Ephesians 5, 27. Wedding rings are visual reminders to every bride and groom that they are married. So it is with baptism. It is a reminder that we are Christ's bride. Do you ever have doubts about your faith? Does some sin leave you wondering whether God still loves you? Does some problem or disaster cause you to question whether God really cares about you? Look at the spiritual ring on your finger. Look at your baptism. It is Christ's seal of love to you as his bride. With the spiritual ring of baptism, God assures you, I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you in righteousness and justice, in love and compassion. I will betroth you in faithfulness. Hosea chapter 2, verse 19 and 20. With the spiritual ring of baptism, the Lord comforts us that nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8, verse 39. Listen to how the Apostle Peter describes this baptismal ring and the comfort it brings. Baptism now saves you also, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 3, verse 21. Baptism guarantees us the forgiveness of sins. It guarantees believers a place in heaven. It does this not because it is a magical formula, but because it works and strengthens saving faith in our hearts. It does this because it is God's pledge of love to us, his bride. The word, daily assurance of love. How often should a husband and wife tell each other, I love you? They may pledge their love to each other on their wedding day, but every day they need to reassure each other of their love. Christ does the same with us. He gives us the pledge of his love at baptism. And every day we can look at that spiritual wedding ring and know that he loves us. But God does not stop there. He regularly assures us of his love in his word. His word assures us. The blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. 1 John 1, verse 7. His scripture gives us the confidence that for your sake, he, Christ, became poor so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. His Bible tells us plainly, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Lamentations 3, verse 22-23. His book reveals to us that he has placed us like a seal over his heart and like a seal on his arm, and that all love, and certainly God's love, is as strong as death and as unyielding as the grave. It burns like blazing fire, like a mighty flame. Song of Songs, 8, verse 6. Do you wonder if God loves you? Listen to his word. There he whispers into your ear, I love you. And he does this again and again. The Lord's Supper, special expression of love. When a man marries a woman, he pledges his love to his bride. When a man lives with his bride, he daily reassures her of his love. But then there are those special ways he will express his love. When my son was a young child, he climbed up on a chair and smelled a rose that was on the kitchen table. After a brief pause, he posed the question, Mom, do you know what this rose smells like? Before my wife could respond, he gave the answer. It smells like love. In many cultures, a rose is a symbol of love. In many ways, my relationship with my wife began with a rose. Plans were set for a double date, but somehow the signals got crossed. She showed up. I didn't. When I heard about what had happened, I stopped by her place and brought her a single red rose. The rest is history. Then there was the time I was coming back from a business trip in Seattle. I had picked up a bouquet of dried flowers at the open market. I carried it through several airports and flights and handed it to my wife when she greeted me at the gate. As we were waiting for my luggage, a woman next to us said to her, "He carried those for you all the way from Seattle." I have not been the perfect husband. My wife and I do not have a picture-perfect marriage. That's impossible when a marriage consists of two sinful people. But these examples do serve to illustrate that special expressions of love are important in a marriage relationship. They are personal ways in which a husband tells his wife, "I love you." God applies the same point to his relationship with us. He does this through the Lord's Supper. This sacrament is not the first way God assures us of his love, nor is it the only way, but it is a special personal way by which he says, "I love you, I forgive you, I betroth you to me forever." It is the single rose a husband gives his wife. It is the dozen roses a man gives the mother of his children after the pangs of labor have passed. It is the special gift he gives her, even though it may not be a special occasion. Are you struggling with the guilt of some sin? Do you feel as though you are unworthy to be Christ's bride? Listen to the Lord's invitation. He welcomes you to his supper, where he gives his body and blood as pledges of your forgiveness. As you receive the bread, it is as though you are receiving a single red rose that says, "I love you." As you receive the wine, it is as though you are receiving a card from your Savior that says, "Arise, come, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me." Song of Songs 2, verse 13. This sacrament of the Lord's Supper is a special gift that confirms the love and forgiveness our Savior earned for us. Going the distance. When I was searching for a used car for my son, someone gave me some good advice. Don't worry so much about the mileage. Look at how well it's been maintained. If the owner took care of the car, it will go the distance. This also applies to a marriage relationship, including our picture-perfect marriage with Christ. To go the distance, a relationship needs to be maintained. The key to maintaining a good marriage relationship is two-way communication. Husband communicating with wife, and wife communicating with husband. So it is in our marriage with Christ. He speaks to us through his word. We don't expect the Lord to speak to us in the middle of the night, as he did with Samuel. We don't expect the Lord to speak to us through dreams, as he did with Joseph, son of Jacob, in the Old Testament, or Joseph, son of Jacob, in the New Testament. God speaks to us through his word. To hear him speak, we have to hear his word. We hear his word when we attend weekly worship and Bible class, when we read the Bible and religious books and magazines, and when we hold family devotions. All of these are ways we listen to the Lord and maintain a relationship with him. But then we also need to communicate with him. We do this, prayer. That is the other half of the cycle of communication. God speaks to us through his word. We speak to him through prayer. God promises to hear us at all times. He never hides behind the newspaper or the TV remote. His attention is never divided, even though there are many people who pray to him at once. His phone lines are never busy. The emails we send him never get lost in cyberspace. Has your spiritual life suffered lately? Has your prayer life been hit and miss? Remember, you are the bride of Christ. He establishes a picture-perfect marriage with you. He made you the perfect bride by covering your sins with the robe of his righteousness. Don't divorce yourself from your Savior. Listen when he speaks to you through his word. Talk with him when he invites you to come to him in prayer. All of this will help to maintain your relationship with him. Our marriage with Christ, the already and the not yet. Scripture often uses the Hebrew custom of betrothal to picture our marriage with Christ. At the betrothal, the man promised himself to his bride, and the two were considered husband and wife. Before the wedding banquet was held, the couple took some time to prepare for their life together as husband and wife. Even though they were considered husband and wife, they did not yet enjoy all the benefits of marriage. Christ betrothed himself to us. We are his bride. We enjoy some of the benefits of marriage. We receive the comfort that he is ours, and we are his forever. We have the spiritual ring of baptism on our fingers. Through the Lord's Supper, we get a foretaste of the eternal feast he will share with us in eternity. Matthew 26, verse 29. These are part of the already that we enjoy in our relationship with the Lord. But there is also the not yet. We do not yet see him face to face. We do not yet enjoy the wedding supper of the Lamb. We are not yet the perfect bride he has declared us to be. We are not yet living with our heavenly bridegroom. We won't experience all the blessings of this picture-perfect marriage until the Lord comes as our heavenly bridegroom. Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. And takes us to the home he has prepared for us. John 14, verse 2 and 3. It is then that we will hear the glorious proclamation. Hallelujah! For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Revelations 19, verses 6 and 7. We enjoy some of the benefits of our marriage with Christ right now, but the best is yet to be. And so, we live in comfort and peace right now. Christ is our heavenly bridegroom, and through faith, we are his bride. But we also live in joyful anticipation of the wedding supper of the Lamb who is still to come, knowing that right now our Savior is preparing our home for us. This is a home that he has set aside for us, his bride. It is a home where we will live with him forever.
This book was created for use of blind and visually impaired people under the provisions of the Chaffee Amendment 17 to the United States Code 121, which grants the right to produce accessible formats of literary and musical works for the blind or print-disabled persons. Sharing this audiobook with others is considered a copyright infringement. When you have finished this book, please return this audiobook in the provided mailer to the Mission for the Visually Impaired.